Lectionary Lab Live is recorded by Two Bubbas and a Bible. We're glad that you're tuning in. Welcome, everybody, to the Lectionary Lab Live. I'm John Fairless. I'm here with my Bubba, Delmer Chilton. Say hey, Bubba.
Hey, Bubba.
Man, good to hear from you today. We're going to talk a little text. It's what we do. These are the texts for September the 25th, 2016. This is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, Proper 21. Following along a similar vein that we've had the last couple of weeks with Amos, the Psalm, a little bit of Timothy, those passages have been good. And continuing in the Gospel of Luke, parables that are not always on the top 10 list, although today's is a little more familiar than
it's what a little easier, a little easier to deal with.
Yeah. What are we thinking about preaching today?
Well, you know, again, the Luke chapter 16, there's just two parables about wealth and what do you do with it? This one's a little easier to deal with, after last week. The dishonest steward is always a story that people go, huh? This one's a little cleaner.
Was you in my church on Sunday? Did you hear everybody saying that when I got through?
One guy came up and said, you did a good job, and I really think you hit the right point, but I still don't understand that story. And a woman came up to me and she said, I just believe that was a corrupt manuscript. I said, you've been reading up, hadn't you? A corrupt manuscript.
All right. So anyhow, we're going ahead today with the rich man and Lazarus.
Yeah. And one of the things as you start with this, sometimes I don't think most of our hearers would do this, but some of their hearers might think this way. So this is one thing to deal with. Mm-hmm. Is this is not a story that to try to base any understanding of the afterlife on.
Right.
This is a Middle Eastern folk tale. There are traces of this story in lots of cultures, not just Jewish culture. Egypt down in, Assyria down in Iraq, those days now, but back in the ancient times of pre-Jesus, there were stories like this about someone asking for help, and the great reversal is a great theme. You know, people that are rich in this world, well, maybe the next they'll get theirs, you know. In that sense, this is not original with Jesus.
Right.
This is a story that's like a modern preacher perhaps telling a story where we use St. Peter at the pearly gates, which is a common thing we do. Mm-hmm. And nobody thinks there's really, post and pearly gates and all the things we throw in those stories. Mm-hmm. They're just a common cultural understanding out of which you can tell a different story. So he takes that basic story and uses it. And as I said, not intended to explain the afterlife. And it starts off with a basic reward, punishment, reversal of fortune kind of understanding, and then it shifts gears.
Right.
You've got the rich man, and this portrait, Jesus takes the basic story, but he paints it beautifully. Mm-hmm. You know, sumptuous meals, linen clothes. There's the other person lying at the gate, sores licked by the dogs, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. And then it's so spare. I just love the way it's so spare with its language in which it says, he died and descended to hell, to Hades, and Lazarus died and angels took him up to Abraham.
Mm.
Hear the hearts, the story's going. And then he looks across that great divide and the real important part of the story happens. There's even that part in many of the folk tales about someone asking for someone from paradise to be sent to them with some water. But the twist comes when what Jesus talks about through the voice of Abraham about the unbridgeableness of this gap.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the point comes then, as you've got the story, the point comes, I think, in the word listen. There is the place in which he says, well, they could listen to Moses and the prophets. Mm-hmm. They have them. They don't need Lazarus to go to them.
Right.
Rich man argues back, well, but if someone came back from the dead, and this is not necessarily a resurrection reference at this point. I'll talk more about that in a minute, but it was common in Jewish folklore at that time to believe in spirits and in ghosts coming back, that version of somebody from the dead. They would listen to them. Mm-hmm. And again, it's if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, nor would they listen to anyone from the dead. At this point, the point of the story I think Jesus is making through the voice of Abraham is, you know what you need to know. You just don't want to do it.
There you go.
This is like, well, show it. This is a version of show me a sign. Bring somebody back from the dead, then I'll believe. And he says, you already know what you need to know.
That's it.
You know, and in the sermon I put on, I referenced one of my favorite movies. I've seen it so many times. I know most of the lines. My Cousin Vinny. Yeah. A great theological story.
Of course.
But, you know, when he comes in the courtroom that second time with that leather jacket and those boots on, and the judge says, I told you not to come into my court unless you had an appropriate attire, unless you had a suit on. And Vinny says, you were serious about that?
Yeah.
Well, the rich man's response here is a classic. You were serious about that?
Because
this too many times I've heard sermons about this that talk about, you know, in Jewish culture of this time, to be rich was meant God had blessed you, and to be poor was your own fault, you know, and all this. And that's not true. It's not accurate.
Yeah.
They knew you were, the language. You can go to Amos, you can go anywhere and talk about the duty of the rich to the poor, to the stranger, the homeless, the widowed, all of this. And that's what Jesus is saying. Moses and the law, the prophets have all told you how to treat someone, and you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. In the story, the rich man, and this is, I love this point of the story. He calls him by name. It's not that he didn't know who Lazarus was.
Yeah.
It's not that he's ignorant that these people
never,
are suffering.
Yeah, that he'd never seen him. Yeah, you're right.
He says, send Lazarus to my brothers. Send Lazarus to me with the water. And he knew where he was. He knew he was lying there at the gate. He knew he was there. Mm-hmm. And he ignored it. And he still considered in the afterlife. This is amusing to me. Mm-hmm. He's in hell. In Hades, burning. Lazarus is on the bosom of Abraham. I hate that NRSV took away the bosom of Abraham. I just love that line. And, he's lying there. And he says, send Lazarus. He still thinks he's...
He's in the superior position. Lazarus is a servant.
To order him around. Tell him what to do. He's just a lowly, no caste, anything. And it reminded me of C.S. Lewis's The Great Divorce, mm-hmm. where nobody's in hell that doesn't want to be. And they have the Anglican Bishop's Theological Discussion Group in hell, according to C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, because they still think they're in charge. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole issue. He still thinks he's in charge. He's ordering people around, and he's not worried about the poor people, that it should be obvious to him what his problem was, but instead he wants to go take care of his rich family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Et cetera. So he's unrepentant. He should know his duty. He should know the law and prophets, and he probably does. He just doesn't want to do it.
Just doesn't want to do it. You already know. And that's the uncomfortable truth that this parable uncovers for all of us as we sit with it this week. By and large, we all know what we really ought to be doing. And it's a little bit uncomfortable, the imagery of Hades and flames and all of these other things. I think you're right. This is not so much that we are to take this and literally build a doctrine of hell out of it, but it is there to be uncomfortable, to make us feel the heat, feel the thirst. And it's a way into this sort of arrogance and this sort of assumption, this selfishness on selfishness on the part of the rich man and looking after his family. And not only is he arrogant and selfish, he's tragically mistaken.
Yes, tragically mistaken.
And that kind of gets to the point. And you just can't say, well, you know, I know the preacher talked about this and I know mama and daddy talked about this, but you know, if you'd send them back great granny Gooster, they'd listen to her. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter who you send back.
So here's an interesting thing. Who is the saved person in this story? Well, that would be Lazarus.
Yep.
If we think in our saved, damned situation.
Right.
What did Lazarus say in this story?
You'll look long and hard for that, yeah.
What did he do?
Nairn.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
This is part of that gospel proclamation. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking for find a way that someone deserves what we give them.
Right.
Or that they're grateful for what we've done. And that's beside the point. We look for a way out. Who is my neighbor? Do they deserve it? Are they, you know, can he work? Could he do something? Mm-hmm. And what interesting, Amy Jill Levine points out that, you know, in some ways, the dogs were an agent of mercy. Because, you know, it was even then it was known that dog saliva was helpful for wounds for whatever reason, killed bacteria. So that's a kind of that God had sent him some little bit of mercy there.
That's the greatest mercy this poor man received in his lifetime.
Exactly.
The dogs licked his sores.
The dogs licking his sores.
Mm-hmm.
And here we sit.
Well,
and for bring it to the modern day, so we will say, oh, yes. I know I should give and I want love, but I want to make sure my money is going. It's a stewardship issue. I have to be responsible steward of what God has given me. And underneath that is because I deserve it. God can trust me with it. And these other people don't deserve it. And God can't trust them with it. So he gave it to me to share with them. Yeah. And the possibility is that you are the one with the most is in the worst position because God has realized that's where your test is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see what you're going to be able to do with that.
Yeah. Well, it follows last week's passage. You're given a little, and if you're faithful with a little, you'll be faithful with much. And, of course, the contrary position, if you're not faithful with a little, you won't be faithful with much. It's interesting that this story begins with a man who has much, and he's not, according to Moses and the prophets, really being faithful. I mean, that's what we're called to confront here. Let me get this in before I forget, because that's what happens to me these days. Earlier, you mentioned that he calls Lazarus by name. When I was first reading this text and trying to just take off the blinders of everything I already knew and just read it as if I was reading it for the first time. And I'm going, why do we have this man's name? All right. We don't get the rich man's name, but we get the poor man's name. And it dawned on me, just as you said, later in the story, that serves to confirm that the rich man absolutely knew who he was. He absolutely knew where he had lain, and he absolutely knew the situation of his life. It just nails that down. He can't say, well, Lord, can't go back to the account we have in Matthew 25. Lord, we didn't know you were hungry. We didn't know you were thirsty. We didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
He knows.
Yep.
And we know. So anyhow, that's why we have a name.
Well, I think, you know, that there's a, I've always sometimes talked to people about one point preaching, and it's important to have at least one point. They ask me how many points. I said, well, at least one.
Yeah.
One point preaching today, I think the crux of the matter has to do, are you listening, not just hearing?
Mm-hmm.
And how many of us have a significant other who, you know, we're around a lot and we both talk to each other a lot. And every once in a while we say, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
The person sitting 2 feet from you, you know they can hear the sound of your voice. But
Wait.
The question is, are they listening
attentively? The way that one comes back to me is, I told you that last week. And I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah, I didn't remember hearing that. Told you at breakfast.
So I think for me, playing with this text, a very key issue here has to do with that listening and what keeps us from hearing the Word of God in the way in which we listen to it and obey it.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes us do the yes, but? Mm-hmm. What is our yes, but to the Word of God? In which we acknowledge what it says, but then we say, yes, but, you know, charity begins at home. You know, I got to tell my son's at college and he needs a good, we got all kinds of reasons why we have to do what we got to do, or they don't quite deserve it, or it goes on and on and on. So I'm preaching this text, I'm pretty clear it's the listening and hearing.
It's the listening.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple of quirky, interesting things you could play with if you want to. Of course, we know another Lazarus in the scriptures, and Luke would have heard these oral tradition of the story. So he could, you know, who knows? There may be a little playing with Lazarus, and even if he was raised from the dead, I mean, I wouldn't go there. You can't prove it, but it's interesting because Lazarus was indeed came back from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and when people listen to him about whatever the next life is, you know, after life after death and that post-death experiences and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I believe if I'm going to mention Lazarus, and probably should, let me go at it from the other way. I think for some people, you need to point out, this is not the same Lazarus read about later. And that's the context I would probably say. Now, it's interesting that in both stories, we have the mention of someone raised from the dead. But please clearly understand, this is a whole different person.
This is a shortening of God helps.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's the name, means God helps. Mm-hmm. It's not the same story, but, you know, it's one of those interesting things.
Right.
Post-resurrection, like we're in, and when this Luke was written, it was post-resurrection. It's hard to hear this story without thinking of Jesus coming from the dead and our people listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
So just being aware that the gospel was written after the resurrection. So anybody who's ever heard this story in the way in which we're going to hear it read from the pulpit hears it knowing about the resurrection of Jesus. And so you have to have that moment and say, oh.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, and am I not listening to Jesus? And he's come back from the dead to tell me about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's a deepening of it.
Yeah, it becomes a pretty important filter, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, are there any things that our other texts are pretty supportive today? Amos pretty much focuses on the rich who have no concern for others, you know, drinking wine from bowls, lounging on their couches, at ease, secure.
I think, I think if you read this, you pretty much go with the gospel lesson. This is good illustrative material,
right?
From Amos, you can sort of weave it in as a description of an expansion of what Jesus did with this story. The psalm, alleluia, praise psalms, but I think note especially. And the Jewish people consider the Psalms a part of the prophets,
right?
You know, and you get down to the end of that, and you hear all about God's concern and care for prisoners, blind, oppressed, righteous, sojourners, widows, and orphans. Again, you can't say you didn't know.
Yeah, this is exactly what the story points to. Well, they have Moses and the prophets. Well, here's the text right in front of us. Okay, here's the text. It's pretty hard to miss God's perspective on the poor, on the oppressed, on the hungry, on the widow and the orphan. Pretty hard to miss.
And then, of course, you get over into Timothy, and you got that wonderful phrase we always have to straighten out. The love of money is the root of all evil, all sorts of evil. Mm-hmm. I think just leaving money as the root of all evil might get at it just as well sometimes. I think the people who emphasize the love of money are people that are kind of making one of those excuses I was talking about. Well, you know, it's not the fact that I have money. I don't love my money.
Mm-hmm.
I love my wife and my family, so I spend a lot of money on them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Timothy is a good text that kind of talks about how does this work out in the Christian community? How do you preach this?
Yeah.
Some regard.
I love the way Paul wraps it up in writing this passage in Timothy. They're to do good, be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share. That's the way to store up treasures for a good foundation in the future. And that's how we take hold of life. That's really life. So a very positive way to state it in Timothy. And that's good stuff.
So I have to tell you, Facebook the other day, and I thought this was staged, but I found it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know that old tale about you always like that. We always like that line. I never saw a hearse with a U-Haul on it before.
Right.
You know. Well, actually, I was a picture on Facebook of a hearse with a U-Haul attached.
Oh, Lord of mercy!
Turns out somebody had bought an old hearse and was moving.
So
if you look around Facebook, you might find it in that image, and it'd be a good one to put on the screen, you know.
Well, there you go.
This guy thought he could take it with him, but apparently he couldn't.
Well, a few years ago, it was big to say there's an app for that. Now, you really have to update. There's a meme for that.
A meme for that. There you go.
There's a meme for that. All right, Bubba. We kind of did the get in there and get it done today. Both of us need to scoot, but we give our thoughts, prayers, and best wishes to everybody that'll be preaching and proclaiming the word this week. Not much left for us to do other than to tell everybody bye.
Everybody bye.
Lectionary Lab Live is a Two Bubbas and a Bible production. Our opening theme is Crawdad Stomp by Joshua Kirsch. We go out this session with Poor Lazarus, a traditional song popularized and arranged by Mr. Bob Dylan.
Slowly walked away, they walked away. Then Lazarus is upon the wind. He heard his son was dying. Lord, he said, let that fool go down, let him go down. Lazarus is a little salesman, could not come to the funeral. Shoes on her feet, song on her feet. And Lazarus says, poor mother walking down the road of crying. They killed my only son. Hey, Gavin, if you hate and lose your man, I'm gonna leave. Sheriff told his deputy, go on, get Lazarus for me. I want him dead or alive, dead or alive. Yeah, they're fine.